There we are. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Steve, are you okay to pray this evening, or do you want to just leave that for a bit?
I'll pray.
You pray for us now then, brother.
That's it, Father. We give thanks to you, O Lord God, for the many blessings we have received this week. For the health that we have, and the roof over our heads, and the beds to lie, and food in the cupboards, Lord, that you provide for us what we need, even the clothes that we wear. And all the other gifts that you give us, Lord, and especially through the grace and mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we gain eternal life. O Lord God, we thank you also, Lord, for our loved ones and our friends, and we ask, Lord, that you just be with those who are not with us today. Watch over Christopher and Taylor, they're in America, Lord, you just put a barrier around them, keep them safe, Lord, and have another time with the folks. And Lord, just bring them back safely at the appointed time, please. I ask too, Lord, that you watch over our brethren, wherever they are and wherever they're doing, Lord. Lord, for Sister Ling and Frank Shang and Dr. Shang. And Lord, for Christine, Richie Lord, and Grant, and Aaron. And Lord, for oh, so many others. Lord, those who have been and gone as well, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you just grant the needs according to thy holy will. Bless Esther, Lord, I ask, Lord, that you lay your hand and touch upon her, whether it be physical or spiritual, that she needs most. And for her daughter, Tina, Lord, she's in hospital yet. Please, Lord, comfort her, strengthen her, and the new medication that she's on, Lord, that will benefit even more than she's feeling now. That she'll be able to be strong enough to look after her when she comes up. I pray to you, Lord, for Sam and Karen and the kids up in Bangor.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, that you just bless them too, Father, and just keep the other devil away from them, Lord. Just put the fire around them. And as they're preaching your word tonight, Lord, if there's any soul there that needs saving, Lord, that you live to save this night. Let all searching souls find you, Lord. Lord, that early, before they come at the second coming, Father. Or in the days, the last days, the days of Noah. Please, Father, just give us the word with and word with all, Lord, at the right times and right words, listen in season and out season, Lord, and to save souls upon with you to save, Lord, please. Bless Israel too, Father. Grant peace to Jerusalem. Bless your children, Lord, and put in their hearts a desire, Lord, to ask, Lord, for your children to be saved as well. Lord, the persecuted brethren, Lord. Lord, I ask, Lord, that you be with them as well and remind them that they go through their ordeals, especially the women and the little children. Lord, you remind them that you're with them always, even until the end of the world. Strengthen hope with them and bless open doors and release international. They put soldiers on the front line, Lord, trying to get Bible tracts and just use your word in whatever way they can, Lord. And protect them too. Especially North Korea at this time in the Middle East. Father, I ask, Lord, take your best known his needs and whatever, Lord, that you help him to strengthen him for the work that needs to be done. And Mark and all. And Monica, give us the strength to look after Mark wisely. Bless this whole church, Lord. Open this doors wider. Lord, let the people hear your word and let's bring them in, Lord. That we may have a revival in day. But first, let us have a revival in ourselves. We may glorify you always, Father. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Yeah. Thanks, Steve. Amen. Well, we haven't sung for a while, 293, is your all on the altar, in the big books, of course, is your all on the altar.
For sweet peace, and for faith to increase, and the furnace be fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest
or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control?
You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield your body and soul.
Would you look with the Lord in the light of His Word and the peace and contentment always. You must do His sweet will to be free from all ill. On the altar you're all you must lay. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit for which we have prayed, till our body and soul He does fully control, and our all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul. Who can tell all the love He will send from above, and how happy our hearts will be made. Of the fellowship sweet we shall share at His feet when our all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and a peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Got another one here, 245. If you have a hymn that you would like for us all to sing, we have two or three free slots after these. More than happy to entertain them. But next one's 245, The Old Account Was Settled. There was a time on earth when in the book of heaven an old account was standing for sins yet unforgiven. My name was at the top and many things below. I went unto the keeper and settled long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago, and the record's clear today, for He washed my sins away. When the old account was settled long ago, The old account was large and growing every day, for I was always sinning, never tried to pay. But when I looked ahead and saw such pain and woe, I said that I would settle. I settled long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago, and the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away. When the old account was settled long ago, when in that happy home, my Savior's home above, I'll sing redemption's story and praise Him for His love. I'll not forget that book with pages white as snow, because I came and settled long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago, and the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away. When the old account was settled long ago, O sinner, trust the Lord, be cleansed of all your sin, for thus he hath provided for you to enter in. And then if you should live 100 years below, up there you'll not regret it. You settled long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago, and the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away. When the old account was settled long ago. Amen. On a head, well, thank you.
Turn tonight to Psalm number 9. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvellous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. When mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sattest in the throne, judging right. Thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name forever and ever. O thy enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end, and thou hast destroyed cities, their memorial is perished with them. But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. He shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Sing praises to the Lord which dwelleth in Zion, declare among the people his doings. When he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble which I suffer of them that hate me, that thou liftest me up from the gates of death, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughters, of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made. In the net which they hid is their own foot taken. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Hegeon, Selah, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations shall forget God, for the needy shall not always be forgotten, the expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail, let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Selah. Amen. Amen.
Thank you all. Like that verse about the wicked being turned into hell and the nations that forget God. Not that I'm glad that people are going to hell, but that there is judgment and the consequences for things, for good and for bad, of course, that people do. Right. I am opening the floor for any announcements or any things that people need to be praying about.
I have an update on Louise Graham.
Yes.
The family was called in about 4 o'clock this morning. She's not looking good.
Right.
Anyway, Louise was crying to me tonight. She's upset, obviously.
Hmm.
But they think she's not going to make it.
Right.
She definitely won't make it to Tuesday or Wednesday, definitely not.
Well.
So be with the Lamb family. I pray the all, I'm Sammy and Louise, think of their eternities as this is happening. Because Anne's a nice woman, you know.
Mm. Right, please pray for the Lamb family and for Sam and Louise. That's Steve's daughter and granddaughter over in England, if you would. And Lamb, not very well, by the signs of things, they're only giving her a few days. So please do pray. Please do pray for that family. Please do pray for Paddy McConnell. That's Colin's granddad. He's not doing very well either. He had a TIA. Past couple of days, still in hospital, lots going on, lots of opportunities, and lots of thick skin by the sounds of things required, but pray for Colin, pray for Paddy, that's his granddad's name. I think he needs to get saved. I pray that this will be an eye-opener for him and how his faith managed in these particular times, so please do remember that. Please continue to pray for Christy and Taylor. Don't forget Esther as well. Please pray for Ling and Frank and Will's mom and his granny. That's Christine and Mary Ann. Pray for Norman and me too. I would love to stand up here and say, looking forward to an easy week of pulling off old panels and throwing on new panels. But every single window that's there seems to have had water damage on it and damaged everything that's underneath it. So pray the Lord's will be done, but we'll be here and we'll be working. And we would hope that maybe at least another one of those windows will be covered by this time on Wednesday. So please do pray for that. Weather and strength of limb and wisdom as we go on. Please also remember my dad, if you would. He's getting older. He'll be 90 in about 8 months, so please do pray for him. Please do pray for Monica's mom as well. She's 80, isn't she? Just turned 80, or will be turning 80. And her health is giving her a bit of trouble right now. Lots going on. Praying for Pat and Steve as well. Colin, William, Will, Monica. All the folks that are here and the folks that we know all need prayer. So please do be much in prayer. Yes, Steve.
So, question.
Yes.
Have you acted on those addresses that I've sent you? For the community fund?
No, not yet.
Pat, sit down.
I will get a look at them, but I hope you appreciate that there's days that I go home. We feel great at 4 o'clock and then we start packing up. And then Norman says something stupid like, let's have a cup of tea. And then it feels like someone screwed us to the seats because it's very hard to get up again. And it's just downhill the rest of the evening after that. But my view on funding is it's a double-edged sword. Hold on. Bear with me just a second. My stand on charitable status and this, that, and the other, and there is a lot of work that goes in behind the scenes, keeping track of all that. And you ask my wife, I hate paperwork with a passion. We need someone like your dad to come to join the church and do the paperwork. But yes, I do have your email and I have glanced over it. I haven't done anything with it as yet. But I have it there and I have not forgotten about it. And I appreciate you doing that.
I will keep on reminding you, brother.
Please do. Please do.
Do you know it well?
I will now we've not got that much time left. Before the money runs out, there's only so much been sent over.
Sometimes there are various strings associated with grants and things like that, but I will have a look at it. I will have a look at it. There is nobody in their right mind is giving money away for free and not expecting something back for it.
This
did everybody get their card with £100 on it?
Yes.
Do you honestly think that the government is not going to take that and so much more back off you over the next year or two?
No, not my signature.
your loaf of bread will go up from £1 to £1.50 before you know it, or £1.50 to £2 before you know it. Anyway, I haven't forgotten about it. Just keep reminding me until I do something about it. Or even go a bit further and click on it and see if you find out any more of the terms and conditions of it. You can go ahead and do that.
You
nag me, Steve, and I'll get Pat to keep you right. No, hold on. She's doing that already. Anyway. Ah, indeed.
The Lord's will be done on it, but it means...
Yep. Oh, absolutely.
You pray on it.
Yep. That's fine. That's fine. That's grand. Private prayer requests. Does anybody have any? Keep your hands up there a second. Okie doke. Thank you very much. I'll check with Ling on Wednesday. Let me think. Is there anything else? Keep praying for our leaders. Keep praying for the leaders of other countries. And as Steve was saying earlier on, please keep praying for our brothers and sisters around the world.
Speaking on that,
yes.
I received an email from Release International and Open Doors concerning Christians, churches in the Middle East.
Hmm.
The churches are being burnt down, the families are being dragged down and slaughtered.
Mm-hmm.
There's pastors as well, men, women, and children. It's going right, especially Afghanistan.
Aye. Yep.
We need a lot of prayer from the Middle East.
Certainly do. And here too, the groundwork is being laid for that here too. And
sure,
if the Lord delays his coming, and Colin and Will are the ones that are here and not us, there's going to be years of experience that they don't have that we did have of freedom. And people will just not remember what it was like to be free. So it is up to us to keep fighting for our liberty. So keep praying, keep speaking up.
It's a sad time.
And if anybody says anything, just tell them that the pastor said so.
All
things being equal, I think I'll be insured up to like £10 million before very long. So. Yes, indeed. Enough silliness.
But
I know. There's a lot going on. If you're sitting twiddling your thumbs at home, pull out your wee this week green prayer list and just start calling out those names, and I guarantee you there'll be a whole bunch of names that come to your mind that need prayer. So please do pray about those. Let's have a wee word of prayer and then we'll continue on. Dear loving Heavenly Father, just thank you, Lord, for life and health and strength, and for each head that's bowed in your presence. For the souls of those, Lord, that love you, have called upon you, have repented of their sins. For our brothers and sisters across the land. And Lord, wherever your word is being preached in the full counsel of it, I pray you please for souls to be spoken to. For the compromisers to straighten, for those that are on the straight and narrow, Lord, for more iron in their blood and grit in their craw. Lord, for the blinders to be taken off folks' eyes and the earmuffs off their ears so they can see and to hear, Lord, and wisdom for understanding.
Please, Lord, bless missions outreaches wherever they're taking place. Please, Lord, edify the saints. Please save lost souls. Lord, we pray for the leaders of our country, for Israel. Lord, for those that are intent on wickedness, Lord, and devilment, I pray you please that you would hinder them at every turn. Just make life really, really difficult for them. Lord, we want to see everyone saved. And Lord, we pray, and I pray that we could honestly say, Lord, if needs be, use us. Bless our time in your presence and around your word. And please find, Lord, the praises and the prayers, the reading and the preaching of your word, and tithes and offerings and the fellowship, Lord, I pray, acceptable in your sight. And please take this time to minister to us. Please give us good weather. And Lord, make us ready for the work in the church. And Lord, we pray it would soon be done. Love you and thank you. And we ask all this, Father, in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. All right. Did anybody come up with a thought for a hymn?
246.
246. Redeemed. There we go.
Hymn number 246 is Redeemed by the Blood of the Lamb.
Child and forever I am redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, his child and forever I am redeemed and so happy in Jesus. No language my rapture can. With me that can continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, his child and forever I am. I think of my blessed Redeemer. Of him all the day long. I sing for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, his child and forever. Shall see in his beauty the King in whose law I delight, who lovingly guardeth my footsteps and giveth me songs in the night. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, his child and forever I am.
Amen. We haven't sung that for a while. Pardon?
Amen indeed.
Sorry, I thought you called out a number there. Does anybody else
yes.
have one?
Yes.
Oh, too slow?
That one of Chrissy likes. What's it called?
I know the one you're talking about. It's Glory to His Name.
He arose and picked it from the dark domain.
36. Isn't that it? He arose. We'll sing hymn number 2. We'll do 36 at the end. We'll call out number 2. In the black book. So it's not Glory to His Name. It's that blessed old book. Oh, I hate that song. Do not indeed. Let's sing it. Thank you. Hymn number 2, this blessed old book.
I knew that.
You
were looking at the big book there. Well, I thought you were calling out glory to his name. There you go. Let's stand as we sing, if you're able. It's a well of pure water when I'm thirsty and dry. Bread when I'm hungry and worn. When the battle is raging, it's my faithful sword. A shelter from life's troubled storm. It's a light to my pathway and a lamp to my feet. When the world gets so dark you can't see, and I've not made a change in one word that it says, but it sure made a change in me. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand, it's true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin. When I think what it cost just to hold in my hand, it reminds me I owe a great debt to all of the martyrs who'd go to the stake and coat it with their dying breath. Well, its critics are many and believers are few, but one thing I find to be true: if you find when you read it that there's something wrong, there's something wrong with you. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand, it's true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin. Amen indeed. You may be seated. Thank you very much. If you would like to join me in Matthew chapter 24, that's where we're taking our lesson from this evening. Matthew chapter 24. There's a lot of verses there, and I'd like to read them this evening. So if you'd like to take and turn, Matthew chapter 24, beginning at verse number 1. Matthew chapter 24, beginning at verse number 1. We've been doing a lot in the book of Matthew. It's sort of following my Bible reading and Bible studies. I pray that this will be a help to you. And we're speaking on the subject of not long now. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. The word of God says, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences, and earthquakes in diverse places. And all these are the beginnings of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But I pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as what was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that they were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two shall be in the field, one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for on such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Amen. Not long now is our time. title for the message this evening and our reading. Obviously, we're taking probably our biggest text to date, the whole of Matthew 24. A little bit of a Bible study, but I hope and pray it will be a help to you, especially if you do any watching of the news or are considering the way things are in the world. So let's have another word of prayer and then we'll continue. Will, if you would like to lead us, brother.
Yes, Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you, my Lord. This evening, every head is fully deserving, every house is represented, Lord. We have the sick, we have the help our Lord, deeply help our Mr. Hunter, Lord, and save our soul, Lord, above all things, Lord. We have our family as they are with us at this time, Lord. Provide for them and keep them blessed, Lord. Pray for all the churches that want the had the churches and all churches of the year have to happen across the world, bless them, and see souls rightly in the churches and restore the backslider, and Lord, see thy will be done, thy glory risen up, Lord. With Lisa National Open Doors Christian Institute and Kitcher School, bless them and keep them and provide them and give them their needs, Lord, and they can be able to stand in the world for thee, Lord, and to proclaim thy word to the lost, Lord. Remember those children Tanzania, Lord, at least in that our Kitcher Schools, Lord, with George, Isaiah, Matthias, and Easter, Lord, Esther, Lord, pray for them, keep them safe, Lord, provide them and all the other children as well, Lord. Pray for that and help us, Lord, especially the Brexit, Lord. Help us find a way out, Lord. Lord, give us strength, pray for the Jewish can bring portion of to end us himself, Lord, and save us soul, Lord. And help the world leaders, Lord, they may not call the laws, Lord, and stay in the street and our Lord, and help that you can see souls saved throughout this world, Lord. But Martin's come to preach the gospel, Lord, and Lord, help them and this Bible study, reach out to us and touch our souls. For Jesus Christ again,
amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. Now, I know the title is not long now. I'm not going to give you a date. Because if you were to look at verse number 36, it says, of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. However, this whole chapter of God's Word, and indeed the equivalent chapters in Mark and Luke, give us a great many things to make a note of as the world changes that we can use to say with confidence and hand and heart that it is not long now, that it might not be tonight and it might not be tomorrow night, but it could be the night after or the night after. One other comment I would like to make at that point or on that point is that there are many Christian faiths that have claimed to know when Jesus was coming back. I know the JWs have claimed many times about when the Lord's coming back, and I know the Seventh-day Adventists have done the same. The Bible says only God knows, and so when someone claims to know what only God knows, they are antichrist. They are standing in place of God Almighty. Only the Father knows. Now I know someone is going to say, but what about the Son and what about the Holy Spirit? It doesn't matter. The Lord said only the Father knows. They are not going to make a different decision. They are fully agreed. They are one God and three persons. In effect, God does know, and our Savior sits at the right hand making intercession for us. The Holy Spirit indwells those of us that are saved, delivering blessings and leaving an avenue of communications open between us and God. And we'll continue to do that until the day that we stand in glory in front of God without the need of an indwelling of the Holy Spirit sealed to the day of redemption, without the need of a big brother to intercede for us anymore because there'll be no sin nature anymore. Nobody knows when the Lord is coming back. However, he said, tick these boxes off and you will have an idea of how close it is. One of the greatest indicators of whether a prophet, and by say a prophet, I mean a man that tells you what's going to happen in the future, one of the greatest indicators that he is for real is that his short-term prophecies come true. That used to be a sign. The Old Testament said, if a man claims to be a prophet and stands up and gives these great oratories and claims something's going to happen in the future. If it doesn't happen, he's not the man of God. And don't be afraid of him, or basically take him out and kill him for pretending to be God's man, God's minister. And if that was still the measure of a man that stands behind the pulpit, I could guarantee you there'd be a lot fewer compromisers and there'd be a lot more Christians standing behind the pulpit. There wouldn't be any of these career guys standing behind pulpits thinking that their life was on the line if they started to preach a different gospel. I tell you what, people would stand up and they would start taking notice. But the first thing that the Lord says here, see this temple. He says there's not going to be one stone left standing on the other. And whenever he was saying that, it was about AD 31, 32, give or take. And about 30 years later, when the Romans basically sacked Jerusalem, they set a fire around the temple, and all the gold went in between the stones, and the Roman soldiers, whenever the fires cooled, they went and tore the stones apart to get the gold that had melted in between the stones. And guess what? Not one stone was left standing upon the other. And I am sure the disciples, I'm sure there were many people were actually very sad at the temple being burned to the ground and then torn apart. But there were apostles and disciples that said, do you remember when the Lord said that? All the rest of the things that he mentioned to us then, they must be true too. If he said that and that's true, and that was what? When was that? Was that about 20 or 30 years ago? All of the other things must be true. Bear in mind, this book was written over a period of about 2,000 years, maybe 3,000 years. There's been nothing added to it for the past 2,000 years. These words were written down by men that didn't know TVs and computers and wireless communications. They didn't know motor cars and the internal combustion engine. They didn't know advanced fabrics, technical fabrics. All they knew pretty much was the bow and the arrow, and there was writing and reading and the preaching of the cross, and yeah, there was a lot of the same things that we have, drunkenness and immorality. But as far as technology goes, can you imagine telling a four-year-old to write down what a computer is and what it does? They might say it plays pictures, but that will be it. In fact, someone was telling me one time a story of a little child, not that very long ago, who was reading a magazine and was going like that there on the pictures, trying to get the pictures in the magazine to go bigger. But they only do that on electronic digital tablets. They were trying to pinch there and zoom the picture. We go by our understanding. Let's have a look at some of these things. Because after the prophecy of the temple, the disciples came to Jesus in the Mount of Olives, the Garden of Gethsemane, and said, Lord, tell us when you're coming back. Tell us when you're coming back. Now, we've already said, the Lord said, nobody actually knows the exact time, but I am going to give you a list of things to look out for so that when they start to happen, you will know that it is even at the very doors. The first thing, and it's not a coincidence, it's not happenstance, it's not an accident, but the very first thing that the Lord warns the disciples about, false teaching, false prophets. And it's so important that about halfway through Matthew 24, it's mentioned again. Because there is nothing that will kill you as surely as listening to a false gospel. If you listen to a false gospel and put your hope in it and your faith in it, you'll never look for the real gospel. And you might live until you're 150, but you will die in your sins and go to hell if you listen to and believe in a false gospel. And it might not look like World War II. It might not look like Auschwitz concentration camp. And there might not be dead bodies lying everywhere, and there might not be a wall with bullet holes and dried blood in it. There might not be people lying in gutters with their throats cut and the blood going down the drain. But people will die as surely and go to hell and the lake of fire, believing a false gospel in the most civilized societies, as people did in the days of the Nazi concentration camps. A proper and clear representation of the simplest story on the face of the earth. God loves you. He sent his son to die for you on the cross. And if you trust in what he did for you then and repent of your sins, you'll go to heaven. That is the most necessary thing that every man, woman and child must make their own. And Jesus said, watch out for guys that'll tell you something else. They will kill you. Here's one for your tick boxes. He said, another one of the things you need to watch out for, as well as just a rise in false teachers and people claiming to be Christ. Look out for nations rising up against nations and kingdoms against kingdoms. Look out for a lot of strife between a lot of the countries. And we've got that today. We certainly have. Bible goes on to say as well, look out for the wars and the rumors of wars. And we most certainly have that today. The rumors of wars more likely, and I know I keep mentioning our mobile phones and our computers, but we can see what's happening anywhere in the world. There are people that set up cameras in places like Lebanon and Israel, and they leave them open to the internet, and people can look at them. And they can move them around and look at the cities and see plumes of smoke whenever there's missile strikes and one thing and another. We can see that. We can do that. We can set one up in our own bedroom and let people see what's going on around the world. We have our wars and rumors of wars. The Word of God also goes on to say, and this shouldn't be in our day, famines. There shouldn't be famines in the world today. Should there, honestly? There shouldn't be. There's more than enough food to feed everybody. It is in the interest of certain parties to make sure that certain countries endure ongoing famines. If the governments really want it, they could sort that out, but they don't want to. There's famines. And of course, I can't mention pestilences. 2.5 years ago, the pestilence that I would have mentioned would have been HIV and AIDS. Everywhere. As Isaiah said, another thing to look out for in the last days is when things are upside down and back to front. When men want to be women and women want to be men and parents want to be children and children want to tell their parents what to do, where they protect diseases. Instead of doing their best to wipe them out, they protect them. Does anyone remember that wee Glaswegian, was it a wee Glaswegian nurse that came back from somewhere and she had what? Ebola. Ebola. And they freaked out. And you can survive Ebola. She did. You don't survive HIV and AIDS. And yet it's protected. It's encouraged. We live in the days that Isaiah mentioned. We have our pestilence, of course. COVID's just one of them, right the way across the world. And we have our earthquakes. You know, all of those other ones, we could probably stop them. We could stop the wars. We could stop the rumors of wars. We could stop the famines and we could stop the pestilences. But there's one we can't stop. We can't stop the earthquakes. And they are happening. Even not very long ago, there was one in the south and it caused a few light fittings to shake in a few places. There's one off the coast of England. And traditionally, we are on the thickest part, one of the thickest parts of the earth's crust that never has any tectonic activity. They're happening everywhere. Earthquakes in diverse places. That doesn't mean under the sea. It's not diverse places. It's different places. Do we have that? That's a couple more check boxes. We got all those things. The Lord goes on to say, Let me have a look at it and see. Yep. Believers are going to be horribly persecuted. Are we not? Mm-hmm. Any film or TV show that has Christians in it, you can almost certainly say they're going to make the Christian the murderer or the kidnapper or the thief or the bank robber. It's going to be Steve. It's going to be Steve. I thought you had a revelation there. There is an undercurrent preparing everyone to blame the Christians for everything that's going wrong. That's the way it's going. It's happening in the popular media. Does anyone remember the old film Poltergeist from years ago?
Oh, Lord.
Do you remember that? And the cause of it all was a church community. And the guy, I think he killed everybody. And this was the cause of one of the most popular, well-known horror movies that has ever graced at least two generations. And he was supposed to be a churchman. They are preparing to persecute you for your belief in Jesus Christ. And if you have not noticed that already, then you're blind or living under a rock. Everything is aimed at persecuting Christians. The LGBT movement has polarized a lot of governmental departments and organizations, schools, security forces, against Christianity. Why is that? Because Christians, real Christians, will say, excuse me, that is not an acceptable form of alternative lifestyle. It is a dangerous alternative lifestyle. You're shortening your life by 10 years, at least. You're causing all sorts of mental problems, which cause the source of substance abuse problems and physical abuse problems. It is one of the worst lifestyles to engage in. And people say, you're hurting people's feelings. You're bad. And that's what they say. I say, but hold on. The Lord said it must needs be that people get offended before they stop and think, well, hold on a second. Maybe that bloke's right. Maybe the bloke with the blue and the orange coat and the megaphone's right. Maybe the bloke with the beard and the red coat that comes round putting the leaflets in through the white beard that made me think that Christmas was coming early is right. Maybe the other bloke with a handlebar moustache was right. Nearly. People think these things. And they listen, sadly, far too much to the TV. And they believe, incredibly, so much of what they say, that whenever the time comes that the government says the Christians are the cause of all of the problems in our society, what do you think they're going to do? I'll tell you exactly what they did, because it happened already. They're going to give us all armbands with little stars on them. They're going to steal all of the Christians' assets. And they're going to herd them all into camps. And eventually they'll try and wipe them all out. Hold on a second. Did that happen before? It happened about 80 years ago to the Jewish people. The Nazi movement determined to wipe out the Jews. The final solution, they called it. And if they tried it for God's people back then, they will try it again. And so when the Bible says you will be persecuted even in churches, I believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. How dare you say that, says the guy with the collar on back to front. The NIV is the Word of God. I say, you've got to be joking. But there are men like that out there. Is that another tick box? Reckon that's... It even says, be hated by your own family. And if I have noticed anything just the past 5 or 6 years with Brexit, with the American elections, that even family members were getting angry and bent out of shape about other family members' decisions and felt free to take action about it too. These things Jesus spoke about years ago when family, when there was nothing, blood definitely was the way to go. You know, blood being thicker than water. These things are not going to matter anymore. And they will not think twice about shopping a Christian to the government. Now you might say, well, how could they even do something like that? Think back again to the great example of the Hitler Youth. And how many of them told it that they said, oh, my mummy and daddy said, they were talking last night, and they said that the Chancellor, he's wrong on persecuting the Jews. And the next thing you hear at 3 o'clock in the morning is the black van coming round, and mummy and daddy's gone the next day, never to be seen again. It has happened. It has happened in other societies than in Germany. Mussolini happened in Cuba. Can happen here, and the groundwork is being laid for the great persecution of believers. Friends, that's another tick box. Now, it says that many people's going to have a hand taken out of them. And it says that many people, Christians included, who don't straighten themselves up and don't apply the teaching of the cross, it says their hearts will get cold and hard because they countenance sin in their lives. They pursue sin. I don't want for you ever to be like that. I want you to bear in mind always that God's way is the best way. It might be hard on you. It might be hard financially and it might be hard physically, but it's never hard on the soul. And you can endure a lot whenever your soul is at ease, let me tell you, friends. But I tell you, even the most comfortable bed and the fullest bank account does not take away the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And I wouldn't want that for anybody. There's an interesting little verse there in verse number 13. It says, he that endures to the end shall be saved. Mm-hmm. I have heard people come up with suggestions about what that means, but the Lord is hopping back and forwards a little bit between the tribulation and the great tribulation, and he mentions the rapture towards the end of this portion of God's word. And basically, what that verse of scripture means is that the Holy Spirit is going to be gone from the face of the earth. I think it's 2 Thessalonians tell us that he that letteth will let until he is taken out of the way. In other words, the Holy Spirit that indwells you and seals you and keeps you, the Holy Spirit that fires you up and just gives that little bit of love for the lost in your heart that constrains you to speak out to people or put a leaflet in their doors or just preach the gospel if you ever get a chance. It says you're sealed by that until the day of your redemption. That means you can never be parted from God. Never. But Paul said it's going to be taken out of the way. In other words, the Holy Spirit is going to be lifted off of the face of the earth. And that every single person that is sealed with the Holy Spirit will go up with it. And then you got 21 judgments coming and 7 of the most awful years that this world will ever see. The Word of God says that there will never be anything like it ever seen ever in the world. In fact, it says even worse than Noah's flood. That's how bad it's going to be. Anyway, let's scoot on here. It says that whenever you see things start to go bad, and this is a wee message to the Jews, now bear in mind. It says whenever you see the Antichrist set himself up to be worshipped as God, just run. Don't stop to go down into the house to pack boxes, to throw in the back of the car, to drive away up into the hills or your cabin in the woods. Even if you're in the roof of the house, just go into the car and run for it. Run for the hills. And many hundreds of Christians have been filling the caves in those hills with food and supplies for years. So that when that happens, the Jewish people have food and water and clothing and supplies. It's going to be awful. It's going to be so awful, in fact, that the Lord said, if I didn't come back, nobody would be left. between the judgments, between the disease, between the way people are treating each other, the way that you think of some of the nutcases in the world that would strap an explosive vest to them and walk onto a bus and blow it up and take out 40 or 50 people and then hope the bus would take out maybe 40 or 50 more. There are people like that in the world. Do we agree on that?
Yes.
Now you give one of those guys an atom bomb. Do you think he's not going to press the button?
Yes.
I know I've mentioned it many times. I don't know what the exact figure is, but the last time I heard, and that was about 20 years ago, everyone in this world can be killed at least 7 times with all the little bugs kept in bottles, the nerve gases, the chlorines, the phosphines, the atomic material that's about in this world that's ready to go can kill every single person in this world, can kill 50 billion people. There's enough. And the Lord is saying, if I didn't come back whenever I am planning to come back, somebody would press the button and clean the board. It is that bad. There is that much coming. It goes on to say that there will be people, again, we already said, that claim to be Christ, but verse number 29, it talks about the tribulation. When the Lord is coming back, every eye will see him. It says, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And that speaks to us again of some sort of network, communications network, that everybody can see when the Lord comes back. It is going to be very interesting, crazy in fact. It goes on to mention about the parable that we mentioned earlier on, but it mentions the rapture. If you want to scoot forward towards the end there, verses 36 and onwards, it talks about just before the Lord comes back, or just before the tribulation kicks off, the days of Noah. What do we know about the days of Noah? In the days of Noah, they hated the gospel. They mocked Noah for 100 years as he built the ark. They drank and caroused and they got married and life just went on as normal all the time that Noah was building the ark and preaching the gospel. Repent and believe or you'll be caught in your sins and you'll go to hell. And nobody believed. And then the rain came, the floods came up and killed everything, except Noah and his family and the animals in the ark. It killed everything that had the breath of life in its nostrils. And it's going to be the same again. There's going to be a world that loves to do nothing but mock Christians and take a hand out of them. We know they're certainly going to persecute them. And they're going to go about their lives thinking this is fine and dandy and normal. But there's one other thing. It went on about Noah's day and there was great immorality. And you know what, friends? There's another tick box right there. There is great immorality in this world today and people think it's normal. It's normal for men to have physical relationships with men. It's not. It's normal for women to have physical relationships with women. It's not. It's not. It's normal for adults to abuse children. It's not. Those things are not normal. And God will make people pay for those things. Sometimes I think, Lord, when? And I'm reminded of the Lord speaking to the souls under his throne. They say, how long, O Lord, holy and true, will you not revenge us? And he says, just wait a while. Just wait a while. It is coming. And so it goes on. It talks about in verses 40 and 41. It talks about two working in the field, two grinding at the mill, and one of the other gospels it talks about two being in a bed and one taken and the other left. So So basically, right the way around the world, the rapture is going to come. Believers will be gone. And then it's going to be awful. Now the rest of the scriptures is a wee bit of a parable for Christian leaders. Talks about the goodman of the house, the leader of the house, who's charged with looking after the servants and the running of the house until the master of the house comes back again. And it talks about a blessing for the person that does that, who's consistent in doing it, and does it, just like his master said. But there's an interesting wee bit at the very back of the Bible, this chapter. It says, for the man that's supposed to be doing that, and doesn't do that, but just carries on and monkeys about, he says he's appointed his portion with the hypocrites. And there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And that strikes me as saying that, and I am more than happy to sit down over a cup of tea and discuss this, but right now as I read that, that smacks to me as many men standing up behind the pulpits are not even saved. Would you believe that? I would believe it. I've spoken to a number of them. Friends, it's important. There are so many of those things that are available right now. And so many of Christ's prophecies have actually happened. And we haven't even mentioned the ones that are in Revelation. We haven't mentioned computer-generated images. We haven't mentioned the worldwide satellite communications network. We hinted at it. We never even mentioned the fact that Israel was to become a nation again. And I know there's none of us here old enough to remember that happening, but my dad was a teenager when that happened. And he's still kicking. These things are happening. And there is no technical advance. There is no prophecy in the Bible that we really can't point a finger to and come up with an explanation for, that we can't see not happening, if that makes sense, that we can understand. It is literally at the doors. And many of God's people are living like they've got another 100 years in this world to monkey about, and then they can get right at the very end. We shouldn't be like that. The end of 2 Peter chapter 3, it says, what sort of person ought we to be? When all of these things, we're going to leave them all behind. They're all going to be destroyed in that fervent heat. So what sort of person should we be? The Lord said, the fields are white unto harvest. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he send forth more laborers. That's it. There's plenty to do. Don't know about you. There's plenty to pray about. There's many folks to speak to. I am sure there's maybe one or two places in our lives that we could point a finger at with God's help, and he'd help us sort them out. But it's not long now. So if there's something you need to do, do it. If the Lord has been convicting you about something, now would be a good time to say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to do it. My apologies for not up until now. Friends, I'm not trying to panic you. I hope you don't think I am. I'm just trying to remind you that so many of those things that God said to look out for have happened already. So many. There are so very few waiting to happen. So anyway, I'm going to stop there and thank you for your good attention. I know that was a little bit longer than normal, but I appreciate your indulgence. All right, we had one more song. Was it number 36?
Yes.
Number 36 in the books, if you'd like to stand as we sing, well, that's grand. If you just want to remain seated, that's grand too. Let's make a joyful noise as we sing Christ Arose.
Waiting the
Yes, indeed. Amen. And we will another night. Amen. Let's pray and then we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time in your word. Thank you, Lord, for your son, for your blessings, for your perseverance with us, for your patience, your long suffering. Lord, your chastenings and your liftings up, your knockings down. Lord, the twisted arms, the slapped ears, the time in your presence and around your word and amongst the brethren. Please bless it, Lord, to us, and let us, Lord, leave here knowing that we've been in your presence and in the house of the Lord. We just thank you for loving us, Lord, and giving your life for us. Bless us as we go home, and Lord, please see us back the next appointed time. We just love you and praise you. Amen. Amen. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you. Shake hands and fellowship for a little bit. Amen.
Yeah, no, the water. Yeah, yeah, yeah.